Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We are here live to address your question or discuss your real-life issue, and we invite your calls right now to 1-800-677-9377. The Word of God reveals true freedom and life in Jesus Christ, and this is your invitation to listen and take part. If there's something you'd like to talk about, let's talk about it right now. 1-800-677-9377. Basic Gospel. It intersects with your life every day. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Thanks, Bob. We are talking about resurrection, and as we've mentioned almost every single day on the broadcast in the month of April, all of Christianity hinges on the fact that Jesus Christ was raised from the dead. Atheists, critics, cynics, skeptics all question whether or not Jesus was actually raised.
Right.
But I think the evidence is overwhelming, as Lee Strobel presented on our broadcast a couple of weeks ago. There's just too much evidence to deny that Jesus was not raised from the dead. The tomb was empty. The body, Jesus showed himself to over 500 people. There's eyewitness testimony. There is historical testimony, evidence. All of it put together just validates the fact that Jesus was actually raised from the dead. Now, what that means to us is that when we come to him by faith, we too are raised from the dead. Ours is a spiritual resurrection. His was a bodily resurrection. But we're going to have a bodily resurrection at a point in time as well. But now, when we believe in Christ, we are buried with him in baptism into his death, into his burial, and into his resurrection. And so we're raised to walk in the newness of life. Now, what does that mean to us? What does resurrection really mean to us? Well, it means new life, but it means the old life is dead and gone. And that's significant. And it means that our sins have been totally judged and dealt with once and for all. I was just reading an article today about the last person executed in the state of Texas. It was a woman, Suzanne Basso, was executed by lethal injection in February of this year. She was found guilty of the murder of a mentally disabled person that she lured down from New Jersey into Texas. When this person got to Texas, she led a group of people that just beat him to death.
Wow.
Well, she was found guilty and then executed by lethal injection. So what caused her death? Well, her crime. A group of her peers listened to the evidence. They judged her to be guilty. They sentenced her to death. She died according to law. So her death was the fulfillment of the law. It took the law to its ultimate conclusion. If she was still on death row, the law had yet to be fulfilled.
Right.
But the day she was executed was the day that law was fulfilled.
Yeah.
What happens, or what would happen, if she came back from the dead? What if she was raised back to life? Could she be judged for that sin again, for that crime again? Absolutely not. Why? Because she was judged, she was found guilty, and she died at the hands of the state by lethal injection according to the law. Everything was fulfilled. Nothing was left. Every part of the law was carried out to its ultimate conclusion. The law has no clause or no provision for resurrection in it.
Yeah.
Okay, so what happens to us? Well, our sins were placed upon Jesus Christ, not just some of them, but all of them. And they weren't judged by a group of our peers. They were judged by God Almighty. And so God found each and every one of us guilty. We didn't have to do much to prove that.
No.
And anyone standing in front of him saying, I'm not guilty, putting in that plea is just got to be crazy.
Yeah.
We're guilty as charged. Well, what do our sins deserve? our sins deserve death. The wages of sin is death. Well, Jesus stepped into our shoes and took our punishment for us. So the wrath of God that was directed toward us has been turned aside toward Jesus. Jesus took that wrath. He suffered the punishment that the law meted out. It was death. Okay? So he died. He died as a criminal on a Roman cross. Only criminals were hung on a Roman cross, and he was one of those. And he died, but it wasn't his sins, it wasn't his crimes that he was dying for. It was ours. He who knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So he died. So the law was carried out to its ultimate fulfillment in Jesus. When Jesus died, the law was completely satisfied on our behalf. My sins were judged. My sins were declared guilty. My sins were sentenced, and death was that sentence, and Jesus took it.
Yeah.
He was raised. He was raised back to life, and now he raises us back to life. What does that tell us? That our old life is dead and gone, and we have a brand new life in Jesus Christ. It is so new that God gives us a new identity. We're no longer sinners. We're saints by calling. We have a new nature. God has given us a new heart. He has declared us to be new creatures in Christ. And as new creatures in Christ, raised from the dead, we can no longer be judged for those sins.
Yeah.
Why? Because that would be double jeopardy.
Right.
They've already been judged. They've already been, punishment has already been meted out for those particular sins. That's why resurrection is so vitally important to us. It means that the law has been fully satisfied on our behalf, and now we can live in the freedom of grace that's been given to us in Christ Jesus.
Absolutely.
That's good news.
That's good news, and that's Basic Gospel, everybody. And this is Basic Gospel. We're glad that you've joined us. We'd love for you to be a part of the broadcast and come in and join this conversation at 1-800-677-9377. Toll free, wherever you hear the broadcast, 800-677-9377. It's Basic Gospel. Bob Christopher is here. My name is Bob Davis. And again, we thank you for joining us. Bob, a question from Gary, who listens online in Las Vegas. And he wants to know something about Pentecostal churches. He says, why do some believe that you must speak in tongues or you haven't really received the Holy Ghost or been saved? They have a sign in front of their church that says, obey Acts 2:23. What's going on there? To date, they have captured my wife, my son, both of my daughters. I am a Christian man, and I thank God for my salvation through Jesus. Wasn't Christ's death enough for the remission of our sins? Or are these Pentecostals tuned into some secret that I have missed? Ever since my wife got our children involved in that apostolic church, my relationship with my wife and my adult children is almost non-existent. Sometimes I feel heartbroken. What can we tell Gary?
Well, I'm sorry that for what he's going through, and I can understand feeling that pain so deep within. You have a family. You love your family as the father, as the husband. You're the leader in that house, and apparently he knows the Lord.
Yeah.
At least that's what he's saying there. He knows the Lord. He's trying to lead them in a way, and they're going in a different way. And it's caused a division. Well, I think just the fact that it's caused a division, everybody should step back and say, well, wait a minute, what's going on here?
Right.
Love is supposed to bring us together. Love is supposed to build us up. Love is supposed to encourage us. And that's not what is happening in this particular thing. So he says he's a Christian. They say they're Christians, and yet they are letting their beliefs divide them. And that's just the Corinthian church all over again.
Yeah.
That's exactly what was happening there. The idea that we need to speak in tongues in order to prove that we're saved, there's nothing in the Bible that supports that. You cannot find that in the Bible.
Right.
There are places in the book of Acts where those who received the gift of God's Spirit, spoke in tongues. They did so for a purpose, and that purpose was to be a sign to unbelieving Jews that the gift of God's Spirit had gone not only to the Jew, but to all people groups. So we see that when Peter announces the good news on the day of Pentecost and the gift of God's Spirit was given to the Jews. Then we see the same thing when the gift of God's Spirit was given to the Samaritans in Acts chapter 8. And then we see it when the gift of God's Spirit was given to the Gentiles in Acts chapter 10. After that, the gift of tongues kind of takes a back seat. We don't see it mentioned very often. There's a place in Acts 19. But again, it's never was used as an assurance of salvation. I think what many people have done have latched onto it as their security blanket. If they're speaking in tongues, they feel saved. They think they are saved. If they go for weeks and months and, you know, maybe longer than that without exercising the gift of tongues, then they start to doubt their salvation.
Yeah.
Now, this is my experience. This is what I have observed through conversations with many people who say that they need to speak in tongues in order to know that they are saved. And so I think here the husband is saying, no, I'm resting in the finished work of Jesus Christ.
Right.
My security is anchored in him, what he's accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. I am not depending on an experience that I've had to give me assurance of salvation. And they're saying, no, 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 you have to speak in tongues in order to be saved. You have to speak in tongues in order to know that you are saved. Now, that's a division. Well, I think both should step back and say, well, what does the Lord really say? I don't care what this church over here is teaching. I don't care what I've learned in the past. Let's together go into the Word of God and find out exactly what the Bible has to say about these issues.
Yeah,
and I think if you do and allow God's Spirit to teach you, you're going to come to a unity there.
Yeah.
You're not going to be divided anymore. And it's just a shame that a family would let beliefs like that divide them. I mean, I can see if it's a family where you know, you've come from a completely different religious background. Say you're Hindu, say you're Buddhist, say you're Muslim, and somebody comes to Christ. Well, that's going to be a division.
Sure.
There's just no way around it. But if both are saying they're in Christ, there shouldn't be a division there. There should be unity.
Absolutely. Well, we hope this has been a help to Gary. And I go back to an experience that I had some time ago when an acquaintance was in one of those particular types of churches and believed very, very strongly in the evidence of speaking in tongues as the evidence of being saved. And we were having the conversation about that. And he was pretty much condemning me for not being able to speak in tongues as a Christian. And he said, I can just imagine that you guys are judging me, and my issue of the tongues is really at the center of this thing, and this is the evidence of being saved. And I said, well, brother, do you really understand what you're saying to me? I'm telling you that I'm a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. I have received his resurrected life. I don't speak in tongues. You are robbing me, by your belief, of my salvation.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And that's why we have to rest in the finished work of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. It's nothing that we do or don't do. It's what Jesus did that saves us.
Yes.
That's what's called grace. God saves us by his grace and by his grace alone.
Yeah.
So it's very important.
It's a sticky issue.
It is a sticky issue. Yesterday we had a couple of questions on the broadcast about God speaking to individuals.
Right.
Does God speak to us? Well, sure, he can speak to us. We can have certain impressions that God is putting on us, and we know it's from God. But we have to step back and ask the question, how? How do we know it's from God? Well, the only way that we can know it's from God is if we have a standard of truth. And that standard of truth is the Word of God.
Yeah.
There are many people that say they hear from God, that they hear Him speak to them audibly. Sometimes it's not audibly, just something that's going on in their minds. And they act on it, and it leads them astray. Well, why did it lead them astray? Because they never questioned what was being put into their minds or what they were hearing. If it was audible,
right?
They weren't questioning that. They just believed that it must be from God. But then when you analyze it up against the Word of God, it doesn't match. So if it doesn't match, it can't be from God.
Correct.
Those impressions, those audible things, can't be from God. The only way to confirm is to match it up against the clear teaching of the Word of God. Somebody wrote me yesterday and said, thought that we were being a little dismissive of that deal, and goes into some testimony about things that she had heard from God. And as I'm reading this, you know, most everything that she says, they're verses out of the Bible. They're things that God had placed in her heart, probably from reading the Bible. And then in everyday living, they came to her mind or were impressed on her mind. And I think, wow, that is fantastic. Is that how God works? Yes, it is. That's exactly how God works.
Yeah.
But we can know that what we may be hearing, what may be being impressed upon us is true only if we match it up against what the Word of God has to say.
Absolutely. Well, I think we've exhausted this maybe.
I think we have.
1-800-677-9377. Time on the clock. Join the conversation, 1-800-677-9377.
Let's go to Mario in New York, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Mario.
How are you guys? God bless you.
Well, thank you, and yes, to you as well.
I was wondering about that, what you guys were just talking about, speaking in tongues, and I started off in a Pentecostal church, and they always taught that if you didn't speak in tongues, that you weren't saved. I got like a twofold question. First is, the tongues that the disciples spoke, as you just mentioned, they weren't tongues like you hear in Pentecostal churches today. They were actually languages. Is that correct?
That is correct. I mean, when you go back to Acts chapter 2 and you look at that, it says people came to Jerusalem for this celebration of Pentecost, and they were able to hear the gospel message in their own language. And that's significant. So it wasn't just some utterances that had no understanding to them whatsoever. This was a known language the apostles were speaking in. It was unknown to them, but it was known to the listeners. So maybe they were just speaking, and God then somehow translated that into those languages so that they could hear it in their own languages. But that was significant. And I think the gift of tongues would be more of an evangelistic gift. What would you be communicating? Well, I think you would be communicating the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ so that someone could hear that in their own language and be able to respond to that gospel and be saved. I know of people that's happened to on the mission fields where they've encountered somebody and there was this language barrier, and then supernaturally God gifted them to share that gospel message in the other person's native tongue, and salvation came to that person. I think God is big enough to make that happen. So I see that as more of an evangelistic gift. But we try to make it as something for us, to edify us, and I don't think that's the way God works. I don't think that's how He gifts us. I think He gifts us so that we can serve the body, and in serving the body can be equipped to carry out the works of God in the world at large.
Yeah, and you answered my second question, was if it could still happen today, and the same I've heard testimonies, but in the respect that you just spoke about it, where people actually speak a language, unbeknownst to them, but they actually speak a language that somebody knows, and it's for that purpose, to speak about Jesus Christ. I think we make a problem when we make things about us and take the focus away from God, and probably a lot of doctrinal issues in the churches are right. caused by that fact.
Absolutely. Well, Mario, thanks for jumping on with us today.
Yes,
we
indeed.
Sure appreciate
Thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Guys. Okay. Let's go to Frank listening to us in New York. Hi, Frank.
Oh, hello, gentlemen. God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Regarding the divisions in the church, Bob, we have a problem. What happens with a lot of evangelical churches, which do go by the Bible alone, it turns out that they don't even agree on the essentials of soteriology, of salvation, leave alone the secondary matters. Let me give you a few examples. Lutherans consider baptism essential, while Quakers do not.
Yeah.
Baptists consider adult profession of faith to be an essential prerequisite for baptism, while Presbyterians do not. Presbyterians consider the predestination of the elect to be an essential doctrine, but Free Methodists do not. Nazarenes consider a personal.
Well, Frank, did you have a question on that, or?
Yes, the problem is if we measure this against the Word of God, what happens is all these sects go by the Bible alone, and they're all measuring it against the Word of God, and yet there's so much division. So, what's the problem here? You know what I mean? It's not the Word of God that's the problem.
Well, Frank, I think where we find unity is when we center our lives upon the person and work of Jesus Christ. I think where we find division is when we look at what we're supposed to do. So, you know, you've mentioned several things about baptism, and I think that's a significant place to start. So we have the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And most of those denominations that you mentioned would all agree on Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. And then they start fighting about baptism. Well, that's what we're supposed to do. Well, how are we supposed to do it? Or even are we supposed to do it? And that's where we start getting these divisions. But we find unity when we find our way back to Jesus and into Jesus alone. Because it's his work that saves us.
Denominations certainly believe in Jesus, but there was a few more that I was going to mention. One of them is non-participation in military service, essentially, you know. And they would say, well, if you go into the army, you're not saved. So, and they claim that, you know, that they're getting all of this from the Bible.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying that we have to be careful about...
Yeah, the only thing that we can do, Frank, as far as, you know, making a statement about somebody being saved or not saved, is this. If somebody rejects the work of Jesus Christ, they can't be saved. It's
right.
just as simple as that. Well, Frank, as always, thanks for sharing with us. We sure appreciate it. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We want to mention our resource of the month, Resurrection Power for Living.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful, wonderful resource. It's kind of interesting to me. We have a broadcast. We open up and we talk about resurrection, and then we get kind of sidetracked with questions about tongues and all of these things. Resurrection is the most incredible thing that's ever happened.
Sure. Yeah.
It happened to Jesus Christ. He was raised to life, and he raises us to life. When we respond to him in faith, that's the gospel. We're made alive, and we have the opportunity to live in that resurrection power each and every day.
Yeah.
That's the essential that enables us to be what God has called us to be and to do what God has called us to do. It's the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
That's what connects us to God's love and enables us to share that love with others, and that's what this particular series is all about, and we want to put it in your hands.
Resurrection Power for Daily Living. It's available during Resurrection Month, and it's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. Simply click the link on our homepage at basicgospel.net, or you can call 1-800-727-2828 to speak with our operator. Again, that number is 1-800-727-2828 for the Resurrection Power for Daily Living, a wonderful series by Bob Christopher. Hope you'll take advantage not only of this, but the opportunity to support the ministry at the same time. Also, don't forget the conference coming up June 19th through the 21st, Stand 2014, Finding Solid Footing in a Broken World. All the information available at stand2014.com. Now for Bob and Richard of the ministry team, I'm Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again on Monday for another live edition of Basic Gospel.